Good morning, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Ki Tzeitzei. And of course, the Parsha begins Ki Tzeitzei LaMelchama, when you go out to war. How does one effectively plan for a war? So the Chafetz Chaim explained that the Torah knows how overwhelming the experience of war is. It's possible to lose sight of the value of the individual during wartime. But those people are still people, the soldiers are people, and they all have personal struggles. And those personal struggles just end up being ignored. The Torah doesn't see it that way. The Torah notes that the individual and the community both count, and we have to think about the soldiers as individuals and what their needs are and how they are going to be able to survive war, just as we think of the masses. We're told, Ki Elish Ben Sora Omora, when a person has a Ben Sora Omora, Rav Shachter Shalita, we used to point out that one of the messages of Ben Sora Omora is that one should love Hashem even more than he loves his own children. Kovos Halavavu says that one's love for his family and friends is actually part of one's avodas Hashem, since Hashem commands you, you're supposed to love them. Your love for everyone else, though, should be an example of your love of God. We find this idea in Akedas Yitzchak. God tells Avram Avinu, Kachna es pincha es yechidcha is asher ahavta es Yitzchak. Still notwithstanding, v'lech lecha al eretz amoriya v'alei usham liyola. That God wants us to understand that when he gives us a message, when he tells us what to do, it is our responsibility to go ahead and do so. Later in the parsha, which has so many mitzvos, both mitzvos asay and especially mitzvos los asay, we're told to engage in the mitzvah of shiluach hakan. Ki karei kan sipor lefanecha baderech b'cholei tzoal ha'aretz. When you happen upon a bird's nest, anywhere, on the road, in a tree, on the ground, and the Gemara in Chulin on Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Beis asks that if a person finds a bird nest on his head, is he obligated to perform shiluach hakan? And the Gemara determines that the answer is yes, says the Gemara, since we find a second pasuk that compares the top of the head of a person to Adama, to earth. So Rav Olbas Zatzal explained that the Gemara is reminding man that even after being created, man is still lowly, like a clump of dirt. Right? But notwithstanding man's nature, he can rise to the highest of levels, his potential unlimited. Harnessing our power towards the service of Hashem can bring Geula to an entire nation. It has the ability to bring Geula to anything and everyone. We're also told, be careful to put up a ma'aka, to put up a parapet, so that ki yipol hanofel mimenu, so that no one should fall from it. Now, if the person who might be killed, if there was no fence, did not deserve to die, would he just fall because the homeowner didn't build a ma'aka? And if he did indeed not fall, why is there a need for the mitzvah in the first place? Notice, if the person was destined to die, why do I have to put up a mica? And if he's not supposed to die, how could it be that I changed the nature in the course of life for another human being based on my lack of a mica? So Yosef Carmel Shlita, the famous Rosh Kollel of Eretz Chemda, explained that there's one approach of the Klei Yakar, who notes that a fence saves only the one who wasn't supposed to fall. It's not clear that he means that the safe person wouldn't have fallen, or that he would have fallen elsewhere or died in another way, assuming it wasn't destined how and where he should die. However, Sefer Achinuch notes that one relies on a miracle, he or she doesn't always receive the miracle. It doesn't take a miracle to spend time on a roof without a fence and not fall. The fence just reduces the risk a little bit more. And so based on this idea, the mitzvah Maka suggests that if 1,000 Jews not tzaddikim like Avraham Avinu, regular Jews, if they would just turn around and they decide, and they have no decree to die, but they decide to ignore proper safety precautions and enter a one in a hundred chance of a death situation. So you have 1,000 Jews with a 1 in 100 chance of death, approximately 10 people are going to die from it. That's an important position to consider. When if you just use a couple of examples, right, you drive a little bit less carefully than you should, you smoke a little bit less carefully, you eat a little bit more unhealthily, or you ignore the risks of dangerous infectious diseases. Be'asisa maika legagecha. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Mechira, in Hilchos Rotzeach Ushmiras Nefesh, that the rules of the maika, kipol hanofel, applies to create to removing a little bit more of the sakana, that we all have that responsibility. The Torah tells us that because Amun and Moab did not go ahead and greet us with bread and water, and also that they hired Bilam, that is the reason why they that we don't allow them into Am Yisrael. So Rashi notes that they gave you advice in order to get you messed up. So in the Torah, two different ideas are the reasons to kick them out. They hired Bilam and they didn't greet you with food. Rashi, yeah, it's that they also do, they tried to lead you astray. So why does Rashi need a third reason? The Torah already gave us two. This is Rav Nosson Wachfogel's Hatzal, the famous liquid mashgiach. Rashi is showing you the explanation of their thinking. What was it that Amon and Moav were thinking? Lest somebody think that there were mitigating factors. Not feeding you and hiring Bilam were defensive moves. Rashi corrects that and tells us, no, their intention was offensive, not defensive. And so therefore, we don't want them in our nation, because there's a danger. On the other side, we are told when a person goes out, when a person gets married, he doesn't go out to war. Naki elebeso shana achas v'simach ezishto asher lakach. He should be free to be home for a year and make his wife happy. And Rashi quotes Unkelus who explains, v'simach ezishto, a person should make his wife happy, not that he should be happy with his wife. Rapam Zatzal noted that there's a deeper message. Sometimes couples think that the job of a marriage is to be happy together. That's not the message of marriage. To have a successful marriage, one needs to place his focus on making his wife happy, not that he be happy with her, and that's the key to a successful home. We're also told at the end of the parsha, and of course, if you didn't get a chance to have the right kavana for Parshas Amalek, you got a chance this Shabbos. Asher korcha baderech, they came along and cooled you down. And the late great Mira Shiva of Nosson Sufinkel Zatzal noted the famous comparison to a kettle, which when heating water needs to be consistently on the flame, because if it's not, the water won't boil. So too Amalek. Amalek, we were heating coming out of Egypt, and they cooled us off. Rav Nosson Si noted that if we're not constantly involved in learning, we too can be cooled down. And that's a constant battle in our lives, especially in the arena of spiritual growth. We have to work not to be cooled down. We are also told in the Haftorah Nishayo, Kimei Noach Zosli, this is the waters of Noach. Rabbi Feiner, the Rav of the White Shul, once recalled the comments of Rav Yaakov Weinberg, who said that Noach's Teva encompassed the entire future of the world within. For with the whole world being destroyed, the future of mankind remains safely stuck inside that Teva of Noach. And not coincidentally, the word Teva not only means an ark, Teva is a word. Every word which escapes our mouth holds the potential of either building or breaking lives. The future of the world, no less than at the tip of our tongue. That's our responsibility to realize. We have that future. It's up to us to rise to appreciate it. We take the hope that we will get to this great, glorious future. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it so speedily in our days. Shabbat Shalom to all.